Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers have chosen a selection from a program they've worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, Intimacy with Life, comes from an audio learning series recorded live with clinical psychologist, author, and founder of the Insight Meditation Community of Washington, D.C., Tara Brock. Producer Steve Lazard edited this program, and here's what he had to say about this week's producer's pick.
We've probably all experienced it. We've had those moments when we've been able to recognize that we are not separate, that our connection and togetherness are at the core of what really matters. It's in these moments, as Tara Brock teaches, that we find what it means to be human. In this selection, and in her uniquely beautiful way, Tara describes this idea of connectedness as being intimate with life. She discusses our growth as individuals and as a culture in evolutionary terms, that we're all wired for connection. And she offers that we can train our brains out of our false ideas of separateness and into greater and greater connection. It was a delight to edit this program, and I hope you enjoy this selection.
You can download the entire program, Nourishing Intimacy, Cultivating Trust, Understanding, and Love in All of Our Relationships at SoundsTrue.com. And now, our producer's pick, Intimacy with Life, with Tara Brock.
The retreats that we lead in the Washington area for probably 15 years now, the title's been Intimacy with Life. And it comes, some of you may know the quote from Zen Master Dogen, that enlightenment is intimacy with all things, to be intimate with all things. And so I think a lot of the word intimacy, you know, that sense of real closeness that the mystics described really in terms of discovering the unified field in our togetherness, the we, the awareness and love that's really the same, that's looking through both of our eyes and looking through and listening through our ears. And so from a spiritual perspective, this whole spiritual path, like being human, the expression of being human is kindness, is connection. And one of my favorite Sufi stories that I've always loved this one is of a Bektashi dervish, and he is respected for his piety and his virtue and his great big heart. And whenever anybody asked him how he became so holy, he'd say, "I know what is in the Quran." So one day, a newcomer to this coffee house where the Bektashi kind of held court in a way asked him, "Okay, so what gives? What's in the Quran?" And he said, "In the Quran are two pressed flowers and a letter from my friend Abdullah." I sometimes think if we made our whole path about friendliness, when I say friendliness, the depth of just seeing who's here and finding out who we are, the we quality. Swami Satchidananda, he's a Hindu yogi, he said, you know, somebody asked him, what's the difference between illness and wellness? And he wrote the words on a board and he circled the I of illness and the W-E of wellness. And we get that when we're in some way struggling, it's because it's a feeling of separation. And if any of us really ask, well, what if you're at the end of your life looking back, what would most matter? Our attention most likely would go to the moments of feeling loving connection. There's a woman, Diane Connolly, who lives in my area, and she wrote a book called Our Real Sickness is Homesickness. That we're at home when we feel that sense of connectedness. So as we explore together, I tend to more and more consider this path in evolutionary terms, and I know others resonate with that too, that if you kind of think of our development as a species, that we're in the thick of a shift from really being locked into a perception of an individual separate self. And with that comes the narrative, the constant storytelling in our mind that keeps telling us who we are, reaffirming our separate selfness, to a realization of whether you call it belonging or oneness, of this loving awareness that really is our source. And so there's this shift going on, an evolutionary shift, and that when we're caught in the separateness, then we're in what's sometimes described as ego-relating. We're ego to ego. And as we'll explore, in that comes a kind of chronic reactivity that senses that something's missing or something's wrong. That's what it's really kind of characterized by. There's an inherent insecurity in ego-to-ego relating that creates distance. And when we're in what you might call being-to-being, where there's that kind of awakened quality, and we have that capacity, it's really the most recently evolved part of our brain that gives us this capacity to see what's going on with others and to be mindful and to not be caught in separation as much. When we're in being-to-being state, there's this real inclusion of all. It's the sense that this whole world lives in my heart. And then there's a sense with that of really cherishing all the different ways that life expresses, that we're really in love with life. Now, this might be sounding abstract and way out there, but you would not be sitting here if you hadn't tasted that kind of being-to-being quality of the who we are when we're not caught, that sense of belonging. You wouldn't be here. Whether it's in moments of laughter or shared tears or bearing witness to death, how many of us have been with the dying and really gotten a sense of that mystery of what we are beyond this separateness? It's there. So we're going to be looking at how stuck and trapped and painful it is when we get caught in the kind of egoic relating, and how, as many of you know, and the word now is neuroplasticity, we can train our ways of paying attention to wake up out of the old patterning. And this is really, to me, one of the most exciting things about where we are in the juncture of our evolutionary history, is that we actually can evolve our own brains. We can choose to pay attention in ways that wake up our heart and mind. So in a way, you might think of meditation as an evolutionary strategy towards bodhicitta. You know, it's just those put together the worlds, but it wakes us up. And there are all these different styles, and I suspect in the room here we have people that are doing many different styles of meditation. And the one thing I've noticed over the years, over many decades of watching people get on the path and be very enthusiastic and get into this meditation or Tai Chi or Qigong or yoga or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter so much what practice. I've seen people, you know, plateau and still doing stuff, but there's not a huge amount of aliveness. I've seen people drop out, so to speak, and people that keep on waking up, like there's a sense of aliveness, the adventure continues, that sense of the opening and the loving more deeply continues. Those people that have that experience, the shared common denominator is one thing, and that is a quality of sincerity, like a real sincerity in intention, that it just matters to wake up, it matters to love, it matters to be present. And then whichever practice we use, practices will wake us up, because the waking up is just going to keep happening anyway.